Today, we talk with Jeff Furzig about his film, The Devil and Daniel Johnston, an incredibly well-constructed documentary look at the life of musician, visual artist, and manic depressive Daniel Johnston, whose artwork and simple direct songs have captured fans, including members of bands like Yola Tango, Sonic Youth, and even Kurt Cobain, who gave a big boost to Daniel's career by wearing one of his T-shirts. Here's Daniel singing about one of his visual obsessions, Casper the Friendly Ghost.
He was smiling through his own personal hell, dropped his last dime in a wishing well, but he was hoping too close and then he fell. Now he's Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was always polite to the people who tell him that he was nothing but a lazy bum, but goodbye to them, he had to go. Now he's Casper the Friendly Ghost. Nobody treated him nice while he was alive. You can't buy no respect like the librarian said, but everybody respects the dead. They love the friendly ghost.
I asked director Jeff Furzig to explain who Daniel Johnston is and why he felt The Devil and Daniel Johnston needed to be made.
Daniel Johnston is an enigma. Let's imagine that Henry Darger was found in a room alive in Chicago creating all this art and all this music and films. And he was here to see, you know, the world embrace it. That's Daniel Johnston, really. Daniel Johnston is a manic-depressed singer-songwriter, musician, artist, filmmaker, comedian. But he's primarily known as a musician and singer-songwriter. And in the early 80s, he was on fire, and he recorded in his basement literally hundreds and hundreds of songs about a girl named Lori. They were songs of unrequited love. And his songs were also about his own mental illness. And they were really beautiful and raw, and they were unlike anybody else's love songs. Through osmosis and through the handing out of these little handmade cassettes to a small underground community of people in Austin, Texas, word sort of spread through the underground when there was no internet, and through fanzine culture. And Daniel Johnston's music was passed around sort of like a secret handshake. Every single person it touched was so moved by it, they gave it to another friend, and then they gave it to another friend. And anyway, it's now spread all around the world. It's the year 2006. And really, with no corporate agenda whatsoever, there are now thousands and thousands of Daniel Johnston fans all over the world who love this incredible body of work that he's created.
Jeff Furzig, how did you become involved with making the film?
Well, I was actually a college radio DJ in the late 80s, WTSR Trenton, WPRB Princeton, and was also involved in the underground and fanzine culture. And, you know, I heard about Daniel Johnston, and I got a hold of, I believe it was either Hi, How Are You, or Yip Jump Music, or I probably got both tapes the same day. Hi, How Are You was sort of like Daniel Johnston's way of saying Meet the Beatles. This is his Meet the Beatles album. And in between these incredible songs of unrequited love, he had also recorded his mom yelling at him, and I thought that was incredible. There was also this primitive line art on the cover. There was like a drawing of Casper the Friendly Ghost on Yip Jump Music. And the songs just really touched me, and I became obsessed, to be quite honest. And I bought all the tapes. I think there's something like, you know, 9 tapes. And I just listened to them over and over again, and I realized what a brilliant songwriter and what also an incredible musician he is. A lot of people don't give Daniel Johnston credit for being a great musician, but he's an incredible piano player. And the Yip Jump Music album is actually a chord organ album. And it really is singular. No one's ever made an album on a chord organ before. Daniel did that. And I still think that's probably my favorite album. It has a lot of his hit songs, like Casper the Friendly Ghost or Speeding Motorcycle.
I like you, that's about the same time that I became aware of Daniel Johnston. But one thing that the film, The Devil and Daniel Johnston, does, and one of the things that is such a boon to you as a filmmaker, is it goes back into his childhood and into his teenagerhood, I guess, which is some of the most important years of his life. And there is so much film and so much documentation via these tapes and so much more. What a trove for a documentarian.
It was incredible what I found when I went down to Waller, Texas. Daniel literally had like a giant Glad, you know, hefty bag, garbage bag filled with hundreds of cassettes. And on these cassettes, not only are there literally thousands of unreleased songs that maybe we'll never hear, but he also recorded his whole life, his mom yelling at him, surreptitious phone conversations with his family and friends. They didn't know they were being recorded. He had that little Radio Shack suction cup $5 item they used to sell, and he was recording telephone calls. You know, he went on, he was recording his own arrest at the Statue of Liberty years later. He recorded his whole life, and that was one of his art projects. Also, in a closet, I found Super 8mm films. Nobody knew Daniel Johnston was a filmmaker. And it's really interesting, at, you know, the tender age of 13, he's directing these elaborate productions of himself, and also he's dressed up as his mom in drag, and he's playing both roles flawlessly, almost like a young Peter Sellers in Dr. Strangelove. And he's also directing these films and editing them. And he's doing this at the tender age of 13. The films are incredible. They're a lot better than my student films, I have to admit.
There's kind of an epic quality to Daniel's story. I mean, just amazing things have happened to him. He sets off on his moped, and he ends up in the carnival. Somehow he ends up in Austin, Texas at the absolute right time. And most all these things, certainly his arrival in Austin, Texas, and being embraced by the music community there, are all documented. Did you see Daniel as ambitious?
Well, yeah, Daniel Johnston, well, ambitious is an understatement. Daniel Johnston, in a lot of ways, you know, he grew up down the river in West Virginia. You could throw a rock at Pittsburgh, where Andy Warhol grew up, on that same river. And he is an artist really of that caliber, and it was really funny. Like, growing up, I loved Andy Warhol. And then I read this great book by Victor Bachris, a biography, and I realized that Andy Warhol, when he was out at night in New York, he wasn't just socializing and partying. He was looking for his next commission. He was looking for rich people to paint new portraits for. And what I saw in Daniel Johnston was that he understood the same thing. He made this incredible body of work, but he really had this confidence to go out there and push it on people. And he did this when he arrived in Austin, Texas, after he ran away from home. He joined a carnival. He runs away on a moped. And when he lands in Austin, it's really no different. You know, during, it was, I think, 84, 85 in Austin when he lands there. It was just like Greenwich Village when the folk scene was exploding and Bob Dylan shows up in town. And within a matter of weeks, you know, Bob Dylan literally is the folk scene. He stole the scene away and it became all about him. And Daniel did that in Austin in those years.
One of his best friends in Austin, Texas, and somebody he lived with for a while is Kathy McCarty, who ended up making an album of Daniel's songs. There's a point in the film where she is talking about him, and I think I'd like to play a clip from the film, where she talks about him and realizing that perhaps he is not quite as benign a being as he may seem at first glance.
I thought that he was almost angelic, and then I got to know him better. And we started being really close friends, and for a little while, I was his girlfriend. And because he was very religious, this was a very chaste relationship. But even within the context of that, it was undeniable after maybe 1 or 2 weeks that something was dreadfully wrong with him. Something that wasn't angelic and pure and naive and innocent and beautiful. I realized I can't let him keep on thinking that I'm his girlfriend.
Jeff Furzig, did you find that many people saw calculation behind what he was doing?
Clearly, yes, they did. Daniel Johnston, who is incredibly sweet and innocent and naive, is also the wizard behind his own curtain. And I learned this from Kathy McCarty. I learned this from Lewis Black, who is the publisher-editor of the Austin Chronicle. I mean, actually, in the film, Daniel Johnston shows up at the Austin Chronicle and cons Lewis Black into listening to his cassette and writing about them. And then Daniel, of course, writes draws a cartoon about the experience of the entire con, and then, of course, gives it to Lewis as a gift. So at the same time, he's charming him, he's conning him. Daniel was very effective at doing this with everybody. He really planned his entire career. He visualized it, and he followed through with everything.
Now, of course, he's very intelligent, but he's also a manic depressive. And I'm wondering which of those elements has to do with the fact that it's some very... When things are going well for Daniel Johnston, he seems to shoot himself in the foot. What is your view on how conscious those things have been?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I read a great book before I started making the film, because I'm certainly not an expert on bipolar or manic depression. But I had a theory that, all the great art, poets, writers, musicians, all this stuff was created by artists who, for whatever reason, suffered from manic depression. So I read this book by Kay Redfield Jamison, and it's called Touched with Fire. And that's what the book is about. It really chronicles all the great art throughout history and who made it and how it was made. In any case, all this art and Daniel's art, his songs, his art, were created during these manic phases, these manic highs. And that's when he was making, his masterpieces like Yip Jump Music or Hi, How Are You? Anyway, he would get too high. He had this incredible obsession with fame. And when he got too high, he was dangerous to himself and he was dangerous to other people. You know, he hits his first manager over the head with a lead pipe. He played his biggest show at South by Southwest, and it was triumphant. And his dad flew him there. His dad was a pilot. And that night he went off his meds, and when he went off his meds, he thought he was Casper the Friendly Ghost, and he crashed the plane. It's really tragic that in order for Daniel Johnston to create, he got this high, but manic high, I should say, but it was dangerous, and that's when he... That's why he's been in and out of hospitals all his life, and that's why, he's never really toured until the last few years.
Well, he seems to have a self-awareness about this because he would go off of his meds for big performances.
Oh, he was incredibly self-aware, as were all the other great artists and musicians I read about in Kay Redfield Jamison's book. They knew they were creating their great work when they were in the manic highs. So that's why, years ago, centuries ago, they would self-medicate. Whether it was absinthe or alcohol or heroin, they didn't have what we have today. And I'm not saying what we have today is any better. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong to medicate. But in any case, Daniel did the same thing. It's actually a classic example. And a lot of people who suffered from bipolar manic depression would go off their meds to write, the great song or paint the great painting or write the great novel. That's how they would do it. So Daniel just fits into that history. Of crazy mad artists and geniuses.
How is Daniel doing now? And his parents are getting on in years. And what's going to happen to Daniel, who is living with them now, when they pass?
Well, that really is the question that the film does ask, isn't it? What will happen to Daniel? He can't take care of himself. They're saving their money and all the money that Daniel makes from his art and his music. And they just built a house for him, and he needs 24-hour care. And I understand now he's living in the house as of the last week or two. And Daniel says he's a thousandaire now, and I think that's great. And his art is exploding all over the world, and his back catalog, his music, is going to be worth a lot more money. And it's very much like when Terry Zwigoff made Crumb. I was a huge Crumb fan, and then, we saw what happened to Crumb after the movie came out, and I really hope that will happen to Daniel now that the film is being released here in the States and all over the world.
So, Jeff Furzig, you're kind of carrying on the tradition of Kurt Cobain wearing the Daniel Johnston T-shirt. You're another media event that is going to focus more attention on it.
Well, that seems to be how it works with Daniel. It is it is really the power of Daniel's art that brings us here today live on the radio that we're speaking about it. Kurt Cobain, Matt Groening, Sonic Youth, David Bowie, the list goes on and on. I mean, there are now over 150 artists, musicians, all over the world, you know, Tom Waits back, who have on their own covered Daniel Johnston songs. And we haven't seen a phenomenon like that in many, many years, almost since like the Brill Building. And I can't think of any other singer-songwriter that is being covered that much. And there's nobody pushing these artists to do that.
Well, you talk about all those people who have covered him over the years. Why don't you pick a version of Speeding Motorcycle that you think we should go out with?
Well, the definitive version of Speeding Motorcycle was recorded live on the radio while Daniel was in the mental hospital. And it's the collaboration, of course, with Yola Tango. Their version with Daniel singing over a telephone and Yola Tango live in the WFMU radio station became a hit record in the underground, and it really is the greatest version of Speeding Motorcycle ever recorded.
Here it is.
I heard you do Speeding Motorcycle.
That's right.
You want to do it?
Okay.
Okay.
Daniel, first of all, I think I better introduce you to this band.
Okay, hi, band.
Hi, Daniel.
Ready?
Yeah.
Not
okay.
Quite. Are we ready? Are you ready? Okay, yeah, because you're going to do it.
Speeding Motorcycle.
Wait.
That's fine. We're right.
Count
there.
It
we're
down.
Following them. No. We're right there with them.
Okay.
Speeding motorcycle, won't you change me? Speeding motorcycle, won't you change me? In a world of funny changes, speeding motorcycle, won't you change me? Speeding motorcycle of my heart. Speeding motorcycle, always changing me. Speeding motorcycle, don't you drive recklessly. Speeding motorcycle of my heart. Many girls have taken you for a ride, hurt you deep inside, but you never slow down. No, 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 speeding motorcycle in my heart.
Daniel Johnston and Yola Tango. Our thanks to Jeff Furzig for talking with us about his film, The Devil and Daniel Johnston, which was released in theaters March 31st and will be shown during the Philadelphia Film Festival on April 8th and April 10th.